nothing on earth that'll get me humming like a heat wave coming.
Welcome back, Arizona homeowners, to Rosie on the House, where we're on one of our special topics of the year. We've covered this topic on two other separate occasions, and it absolutely just blew up the Facebook and the phone lines and the internet. So we're going to be covering this on a regular basis. It seems to be a hot topic. We're talking about urban farming. That's right. Creating something there on your lot. Regardless the size that you have, maybe it's something so small as a very small condo back patio area, or maybe you've got the half or the quarter or the full acre. Let's see what we can do about turning that into the urban farm. Hey, a couple of things I want to bring up as well is I want y'all to be sure and tune in next week. We're going to be talking about critter control around your house, and it hit the news this week. You may have seen it. Arizona Fish and Game actually had to go to East Mesa and trap a black bear that was traveling through the neighborhood, and actually transport it to the Tonto Forest and re-release it, see if we couldn't convince it to live a little bit happier, a little bit farther away from the trash cans in the neighborhoods. So it's a very real thing. We've taken two calls today. Somebody wanted to know what to do about woodpeckers. Another call from North Phoenix wanted to know about javelinas. So all of that is going to be the topic of the show next Saturday. Be sure and tune in. I want to give y'all a heads up warning of something that we are on the very front edge of that is impacting Arizona home buyers. And this is also going to make the telephones and the internet light up, because every realtor in Arizona is going to call me and chew me out. In the depth of our housing downturn, many people bought homes for pennies on the dollar, 30, 40 cents on the dollar, put a few pennies into it, and are flipping it at next to the full dollar price again. We call these flip houses. Most of the work, the great majority of this work, is done by unlicensed people. And if you're, and we're seeing this now, people that have bought the flip homes and they've been in them 8 months, 9 months, a year, the homes are literally falling apart underneath them. So we're going to be covering that in a show coming up over the next couple of weeks. Things you really, really need to be aware of. But all that said, let's turn the show over to the guests that have joined us this Saturday morning. Romy, who you got lined up here, my good friend, Bud?
Well, Kari Spencer of the Micro Project, Master Gardener, and the Micro, we talked last hour with Greg, you mentioned naming.
Naming your farm is very important.
So you've named it the Micro Project.
The Micro Farm Project.
Micro Farm Project. And what does that mean?
Well, the Micro Farm Project, we call it a project, because we are always experimenting with something new, always adding something new. We are completely addicted to the process of growing an urban farm. We have gardens, and we have all kinds of critters running around.
And that's in particular where we're going with this hour. Name off your critters.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, we have chickens.
Chickens.
We have Coturnix quail, which lay lovely, gorgeous, delicious eggs. We have a couple of sheep. And we have goats.
And that is the topic of the hour. Why goats?
Well, one of our daughters is lactose intolerant, and we tried goat milk, and she could tolerate that quite well, and we found that we actually really liked the taste of the goat milk. And so why not get some goats of our own?
Now, Kari, I've known you a long time. Our girls are friends growing up since high school, and you live in a regular neighborhood. And the last time I saw your yard, it was dirt with a couple dogs and some kids
dirt.
Back there.
Yeah.
So you've worked hard. You're a master gardener now, and you have all this. And are any of these animals a concern for your neighbors? You just kept doing
this? I am really fortunate that I have supportive neighbors. They actually love what we're doing there. And they come by and get eggs and just like to come and hang out in our yard.
That's cool. I bet they do.
You'd said,
and we're finding that more and more around the valley and around the state, when people are doing urban farms in the yard, the neighbors are loving it.
You had said, a farmer, you grow and you share.
Right.
It sounds like Is everyone sharing, or are they coming and taking?
Well, they do share. Actually, my neighbor, just the other day, we were out walking, and the neighbor came out with a bag of tomatoes. So I said, hey, let me go get you some eggs. So we just traded.
Outstanding. Now, when you start off with goat, how much room do we need? I mean, you think livestock, you think goats, you think, yeah, I need space. How much room is suggested for a goat?
Well, some people will keep a goat in as small as like a 8x8 foot pan. I prefer to let mine have a little bit more room. I have three goats, two mama goats and one baby goat and one on the way. So we'll have four goats soon. But they have a 25x8 foot area.
And it's important, anyone listening, to understand the containment factor. I mean, I'm picturing your yard in that area. Do you have a block fence around the back property?
Yes, we do.
Why don't you just leave the goat loose in the back behind the fence?
If I did that, I would not have a garden. Goats are browsers, and they will eat everything.
Everything. So containment is a factor. When we put our newsletter one out, we had some people from the Witch Hazel Dairy outside of Sholo in northern Arizona send us an email and said, remind people that they're pack animals. So if they're not in a herd, H-E-R-D, they will be herd, H-E-A-R-D.
That is absolutely the truth. If you have one by herself or himself, he will call out to you every time he sees you and just want your attention 24/7.
So it's important that you can't just have one.
Two or more, yes.
And when we're using goats for produce, you constantly have to be encouraging goats to be making more goats.
Yes, you do. Yes. Yes, but you don't necessarily want to house the male goats with the female goats all of the time, just when you want babies, because the male goats have an odor. And if you're milking them, your goat milk will taste more goaty if the males and the females are housed together.
Now, can you have them in pens next to each other, or do you want it like you were talking neighbor sharing? Do you keep the male goat over at your potato farmer neighbor?
I don't have any male goats on my property, but Wish We Had Acres has both males and females, and they keep them maybe 15 feet apart, something like that, just far enough away that musky odor from the males doesn't affect the milk coming from the females.
And if you want an idea of that, I'm sure you could probably, if you go to rosieonthehouse.com and look at our resource guide today, we have a number of different locations. We'd mentioned the Witch Hazel Farm, the Micro Farm Project. Crow's Dairy. If you want to get an idea of that musk, you may want to, you'll find out why a lot of people take their females to somebody that has a male and brings them back.
That's exactly what we do. Yes.
It is a very prominent odor.
Yes.
And that's a very common practice. You don't have the male go anywhere on your property. Somebody else does. Now, how often do you have to pick your, what do you call a female goat?
A doe.
A doe. Uh-huh. How often do you have to take the doe to the man goat?
Once a year.
Once a year. Okay. All right. So once a year keeps the doe in milk.
Yes. That's called freshening.
Okay.
When she has a baby, then she has more milk. And that just.
Now, look, there's got to be something. Okay. So if you're lactose intolerant, you can tolerate goat milk.
Many people can.
There's got to be another reason people pay $24 a gallon for it. What is it? What are the other benefits to this stuff?
All right. Well, goat milk is much more easily digestible. The proteins and the fats are more easily digestible than cow's milk or even human milk. It has more vitamin A. It has more B1, more riboflavin, more phosphorus, and it's great for making cheese, great for making fudge.
I do love goat cheese.
Yes.
And I love fudge.
I do. My niece, who was in town last weekend, raises goats in Idaho. And she brought, what was that, Romy? It was
a seasoned goat cheese. It was delicious.
I mean, it was absolutely delicious. And I think cheese, I think you have to let the milk curdle and it takes a long time. But this is something she just whipped up in like an afternoon.
Oh, sure.
From milk to cheese. Kinda. Yeah.
It is very easy to make.
That's interesting. Well, it was very, very enjoyable. It was an herb goat cheese that I don't think it lasted more than about 3 minutes at our house. It was gone. Poof.
So we've established we need more than one. We need at least, let's just say 100 square feet for a goat pen. The smaller the pen, the more maintenance, the more time you have to clean it, scrub it, health care, the more room you can give them, the healthier the conditions. Mm-hmm. They have to constantly be bred to be in milk.
Yes.
So it's not like a dairy cow where they'll just produce milk all the time without being...
No, they do need to be fresh. And now you can extend the time that they will be in milk by milking them, but eventually they will dry off.
And where do you go find a billy goat? Or is there a community? Do you have a secret call list? I mean, where do you go to the same place every time?
It's a goat dating service.
Yeah.
It is.
Online?
Well, there, you know, it depends. If you have registered goats, you know, you want to keep that in mind, the lineage of the goat. Or maybe you just have a friend who has goats and you can go and cross them that way. I take mine back to the breeder. Wish We Had Acres, where I got my females, and they keep track of which males are which so that we don't start inbreeding and we keep crossing the lines. And that's how I do it. You can go out to the American Dairy Goat Association and look for breeders. There's a number of ways to...
When we get back, I want to talk to all those people that may want to try the benefits of goat milk without the raising of the goats. And Jennifer did some peculiar research on that. It's trickier to get goat milk than you might think.
And the raw goat milk.
The pasteurized and the non-pasteurized and the raw and then the grade A. And there's a lot of convoluted rules about how you can and who can sell it and who can't. So we're going to cover all that when we get back after this short break. There is open lines. If you'd like to talk about any question you might have about urban farming, 1-888-767-4348.